The first chapter of Maseiros Yesharim is titled "Be'or Klal Chovas Ha'Adam Be'Olamo," explaining in general what is a person's obligation in his world. And he begins Yisod HaChasidus V'Shar Sha'Avodah, which employs Hashem's name in the first letters of each of those words. The basis of piety and the root of service, HaTmima, pure, Hushis Baravis Amis Eitzlo Odom HaChavasa Be'Olamo, is when a person gets clarity exactly what is his obligation in the world. And what does he have to put as his end goal? What is he striving for in all that he toils during the length of his days? There is a given that people will toil. Life is amelos. Adam la'amal yulot. That's not optional. Amelos is a given. People are going to toil in this world. The only question is, where do you direct your energy? Where do you focus your efforts? Toil is a given. That's the issue here. To what end is a person toiling? What is he putting as his goal? What's his aspiration for his life? What's his vision? V'hine, ma shaharun chachamein zechon levracha, who what our Chazal teach us, sha'adam lo nivra el his aneg al Hashem, that man was created only for the purpose of getting pleasure from close proximity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'lehenos miziv shechinaso, to benefit in the shine of his shechina. Shezeu tainu ka amiti v'idin hagadol b'chol ha'idunim shechon yimasei. This is true pleasure. This is the greatest pleasure that's available, that can be found. And the place of that pleasure is Olam Haba. Ki hanivra b'hachana mitzterechus davarzeh. Olam Haba was created with everything necessary for this purpose. Achaderach kedei lehagia el mechos kavsein ezeh. But the path that leads to this desirable region, this destination, huzeh ha'olam, that's this world. That's what Chazal teaches us, that this world is just the lobby before the ballroom. The ballroom is Olam Haba. And the means by which a person achieves this goal, that's the mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded us. So people want to know, why are they here? What is the purpose of creation? Why did Hashem make us? And the answer is to bask in the pleasure of the close proximity to the Shechina. That's the ultimate of all pleasures. There are people who devote their lives in the pursuit of pleasures. They try to get as much out of life that appeals to their senses, and they work towards that goal, and they earn money so they can go on vacation and enjoy themselves. And they're right and they're wrong. The way the Siddur Shem explains it, man was created to achieve pleasure, but not in this world. Not in this world. This world is not for pleasure. The next world is for pleasure. The true pleasure is the next world. That's a very difficult thing to sell someone, because I can't show you a sample. How are you supposed to get a taste of a pleasure that we cannot fathom, that we cannot experience? So there are some things that are me'ein olam haba. Like we say, Shabbos is me'ein olam haba. It's a taste of olam haba, a little of olam haba, but it's not really doing justice, because in olam haba, the problem that we have, and the Rambam explains this, is that olam haba is not physical. Olam haba is spiritual. And the pleasures aren't physical, the pleasures are spiritual. And the Rambam goes to great lengths to attack those of other religions who believe that paradise is a world of physical pleasure. And they describe, in very immoral terms, if you will, the concept of what paradise is going to be like. And it's all physical. It's all physical. It's all physical pleasures. And the Rambam says it's ridiculous. There's no physical pleasures. There's no physical in the next world. It's all spiritual. So you can't describe the reward of paradise in physical terms. And there are religions that do that. And he writes very extensively in Hilchos Teshuva that it's ridiculous, it's preposterous, it's such a mistake. It's such a thing. You're not physical. How can you talk about physical pleasures? So you can't really describe it. It's kind of indescribable. You're describing something. That's what the Pasuk says, Ayin lo rasa, no one has seen, no one knows. How do you describe a non-physical tainug to a physical creature? All we know are physical pleasures. We don't know non-physical pleasures. So you really can't describe the pleasure of Olam Haba. Chazal tell us in the Mishnah, Yafa Sha'achas of Olam Haba, Mikol Chama said, a moment of Olam Haba's pleasure will outweigh a lifetime of pleasure in this world. That's just a moment, Sha'achas. Imagine an eternity of the Tainug of Olam Haba. But again, these are just words. It's not like you can experience it. It's not like you can sample it. It's not like you can taste it. It's totally aphysical. And any expressions of Olam Haba in physical terms maybe is a metaphor, but it's certainly not real. It's the person shouldn't believe that his merit in paradise is going to be in the form of food and drink and women. It's nonsense. It's just total craziness. We're not physical. It's purely spiritual. So why are we here? We're here to take pleasure. What kind of pleasure? Olam Haba pleasure. We don't know what Olam Haba pleasure is. It's an amazing thing. There's no pleasure like it, he says. It's the only Tainug Amiti. It's the Inuk HaGod B'chol Yidunim. There's no greater pleasure. Okay, but it's all faith-based, basically. I take his word on it. It's not like something we can experience and know for ourselves. It's something that we are fully believe in it, and we're ma'aminim in it, and we accept it. So this world is not for Tainug. The next world is for Tainug, and that's why Hashem made us. Hashem made us in order that we can enjoy the pleasures of Olam Haba, which has to do with Nenem Izveshchina. And if you learn Derech Hashem, he goes into much more detail into exactly how that works and how you get close to Kodesh Baruch Hu in Olam Haba and how you enjoy those benefits. But it's really something that we don't experience down here. There could be a sense of satisfaction a person gets by living a moral life, by living an ethical life, by doing mitzvahs, but that's not schar. It's a sense of accomplishment, perhaps a sense of simcha, simchas hachayim, simchas hamitzvah, which is good. You know, it's nice to live a meaningful life and have peace of mind when you go to sleep, that you know you're a good person and you're doing good things and you're not looking out for yourself, you're looking out for other people and so on and so forth. But that's not schar. That's not schar of Olam Haba. That's just the peace of mind that comes with knowing you're doing the right thing. But the true schar is in the next world, and that's not really describable. How do you get to the next world? By mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are the means to the end. It's the means, the emsa'im, that reach us to this tachlis. The mitzvahs the Ibn Hashem has commanded us. The Ramchal continues, "Umakom asiyas mitzvahs hurak ha'olam hazeh." Now the place to perform mitzvahs is only in this world. Alkein husam ha'adam b'zeh ha'olam, and that's why we are put into this world b'tchila initially. K'deish ha'idei ha'amtsoim ha'elam ha'mizdam nimlo kan yuchel ha'giyah el ha'makom ha'shechuch ha'lo shu'ul ha'bo. So by these means that come his way, the mitzvahs that come his way, he can take advantage in this world, so he will merit to olam ha'bo. Lir v'oshom b'tuv ha'shekana lo ha'idei ha'amtsoim ha'elam, and he will then be satisfied and bask in the goodness that he acquired through these mitzvahs in this world. That's what Chazal tell us. Today is the time to do the mitzvahs. Tomorrow is the time to get reward for the mitzvahs. But there is no schar in this world. It's Misha Toch Be'erev Shabbos Yechol B'Shabbos. If you prepare in advance, you'll have eventually. But if you don't prepare, you'll be empty-handed in the next world. If you examine this, here you will see. The true perfection comes from clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by being Davik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For whom Ashahai David HaMelech Omer. This is what David HaMelech would say. Va'ani kirvas Elokim li Tov. For me, Tov is being close to Hashem. And that's essentially a mantra. That's how we live our lives. Closest to Hashem is Tov. And chas v'shalom, distance from Hashem, is bad. Va'ayimid David would say, achashalti meis Hashem osavakei shivdi Hashem kol mechayai. David's request was to constantly dwell in the house of Hashem, because that is Tov. And anything else, that people and philosophers and deep thinkers will tell you is good, is nothing but emptiness, falsehood, deceptiveness, worthless. But in order to merit this Tov, you have to toil. You have to work to get this Tov. You want to stick to those, you want to be David Hashem. So you're going to have to do these acts that generate the Dveikus and that are mitzvah. Those are the mitzvahs. Now, the problem is, the Baruch Hu put us in a place where there are many things that keep us away from Him. These are our physical desires. If a person is drawn after them, he gets further and further away from the true good. So, people are placed into a raging war. Because everything in this world, for good or for bad, are tests for man. The poor man has his test, but wealth is a test on the other end of the spectrum. If I'm satisfied, I may deny and say, who is Hashem? I may get be poor, and I'll steal. Hashal mitzarechot ve'yisur mitzarechot, tranquility on one end and suffering on the other. He's surrounded in front and behind by this battle. Ve'emiel ben chayil, if he's valiant, and he conquers from all sides, hu yehod mashalem, he will be the person who reached perfection, who will merit to cling to his maker, and he will emerge from the lobby and enter the ballroom to glow in the light of Chayim. So the Ramchal tells us that yes, the reason we're here is to enjoy the closeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is something that we can't describe. It's unhabazri, not describable. The way to get there is by doing mitzvahs, but it's not so easy. It's not so easy because we have so many things that try to take us away from doing mitzvahs. There are so many things in this world that interfere and distract and obstruct. And it's not just a simple thing to say, great, I'll do mitzvahs, I'll collect the schar, and I'll be an olam haba, and I'll be everything will be good. There are challenges constantly. He calls it a melchama chazaka. There's a raging war. And everything, being the tov, being the ra, are nisyonis. There are nisyonis all the time. Every turn you make, day and night, there's always nisyonis. And the Ben Chayil, who vanquishes his enemies and he overcomes the obstacles and interference and everything that gets in his way, and he's focused and he achieves his goals, he's the Ben Chayil who emerges from the Prozdor into the Chakra. The use of the term Nisyonis, Ramchal uses the term Nisyonis to describe the challenges that all of us experience on a daily basis. I don't believe that's the same term, Nisyonos, that the Ramban uses and the Rishonim use. They talk about Avraham Avinu had 10 Nisyonos. What do you mean he had 10 Nisyonos? 10 Nisyonos an hour, according to Ramchal. I mean, 10 Nishonos. How do you go through life? And it's only Zavraha 10 Nishonos. Other people not as great as from don't get 10 Nishonos. Maybe they get in their lifetime 1, 2, 3. Avram had 10. People who less than Avram don't get that many Nishonos. But Ramchal is saying, Nishonos right and left, front and back, all the time, day in and day out. It's a different use of the word. It's the same word, but I believe they use it differently. The Ramchal is using the term Nishonos to describe the battle a person has to wage essentially between his seichel and his guf. In a nutshell, you have a seichel, you have an intellect. Seichel is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Seichel is a ruchnius type of thing. I know we can use other terms to translate it, which will downgrade it to a physical thing, but that's not how I'm using the word seichel. If you learn Sefer Chovos Levavos, you'll find that he proves everything he says. I'll prove it from Mikra, Mishnah, and Seichel. Seichel carries weight the same as a Pasuk in Tanakh, or a Mishnah, or a Gemara. Because just like the Pasuk is from Hashem, and the Mishnah is from Hashem, Seichel is also from Hashem. And the Chovos Levavos will use Seichel constantly in this context of proving his points. In that understanding of Seichel, so people are constantly battling between the Seichel and the Guf. The Guf wants to sleep in the morning. Seichel says, get up! You gotta do things! Big day ahead of you! Guf says, come on, it's dark outside, it's cold outside, I don't want to get up. And the Seichel says, get out of bed or else! Or whatever the Seichel is going to say. Some people, the Seichel wins. Some people, the Guf wins. This starts from the time that alarm rings to the time to go to bed. Seichel says, go to bed, or else you'll be tired in the morning. Guf says, come on, I had a long day, I want to relax a little bit. Seichel says, if you don't go to sleep, you're going to have a hard day tomorrow. No, so on. When I was a young boy, the Mashgiach would say, the battle of getting up in the morning starts the night before. Do you go to bed on time, or do you stay up late? So, it's nonstop. The seichel and the guf are at it all day long. It's a mechama. It's a mechama chazaka. You have taivis chamiyos. You have physical desires. And you have an intellect. And they are at it. If a person learns how to follow his seichel, he'll end up being a big tzaddik. If a person ignores the seichel, it's not going to have a happy ending. So, those are the nisyonos that the Mishnah Shem is referring to, as opposed to the major God-sent challenge. Let's just show you how big a tzaddik you are. Not let's find out how big a tzaddik you are, let's show you how big a tzaddik you are. Rabban says it very clear. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tests Avram Avinu, it's not because Hashem doesn't know how big a tzaddik Avram is, and I'll give you a test and now I'll find out. Hashem knows exactly. Hashem knows the result of the test before he gives the test. It's only a test mitzad hamenusa, not mitzad hamenasa. It's only a test from the vantage point of the one being tested. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vantage point, he knows the result already. So why does Hashem do it? Ramban says, the Baruch Hashem wants to take the potential and let it be realized. And the tzaddik who passes his test will get more schar for having passed the test than he would have received by just potentially having the ability to pass the test, would he be tested. And the Baruch Hashem doesn't test Rishon. He's not setting people up for failure. The Ramban says he only tests the deacon. He wants to test the tzaddik in order for the tzaddik's sitkus to come out. He wants the tzaddik to be aware of his righteousness. And that's the point of that kind of nisayon. That's totally different from what Ramchal is talking about. Ramchal is talking about daily struggles. Daily struggles. Everyone has it. A daily struggle of doing the right thing and controlling the physical and the guf and what the guf wants and what the guf desires, and overcoming that to listen to the seichel and focus on the mitzvah. So it's not an easy path. He makes it very clear. He calls it a melachama for a reason. It's a battle, and it's a struggle, and it doesn't end. It doesn't end. It's a war that goes on and on and on and on and on. There's no ceasefire. There's no respite. Ad yomoso, a person cannot be comfortable with his accomplishments, with his achievements. Yoichlin kol gadol, 80 years. Tzadik gamur becomes a tzaduki. A person can never let his guard down. This is a melchama that doesn't end till a person leaves this world. And the Ramchal says everything is a challenge. If a person is poor, he's got his own challenges. A person is wealthy, he has his challenges. In the big scheme of things, probably the wealthy person has bigger challenges than the poor person. They're different, but they're probably more difficult. And there's the person who has Yisurin, the person who has Shalva, the same kind of thing. These are all Nisyanis. If he's a Ben Chayil, he'll win. He'll be the Sholem, he'll be Davik Beboirai, he'll emerge from the Prozdor to the Traklin. And if not, not. Ramchal continues, Kafi Ashir Shakovash Yisu with Havosov and Esrachik Menhamachikim Osov, Mehatoiv. The degree to which he vanquishes his inclinations and his desires, and he distances himself from those things that will distance him from good, and he strives to cling to Hashem, to that degree he will achieve a closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he will have a sense of simcha that comes with connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you go even deeper, you'll see that everything in the world really is here to serve man. But there's a tremendous balance going on. If a person is drawn after the world and distances himself from his maker, he gets ruined and ruins the world with him. And that's this week's Parsha Noach. How mankind went astray from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the whole world went down the hill to the point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to destroy the world. If a person controls himself and clings to his Maker and uses the world as a means and as an aid to serve Hashem, then he is elevated. And the world is elevated too. We find this by Maaseh Machpelah. Vayakam Hasada, Rashi says, the Sada had a tekuma. When Avraham Avinu bought it, the whole Sada was elevated. Ki hine, ilu gadu labrios kulam b'yosam misham shei hod mashalem. Hamakadosh b'kadoshos yisparach. It's a tremendous benefit for the brios that serve the Adam Hashalem, who is holy in Hashem's holiness. Hukini ma'asha amach l'chameinus amach v'ocha, this is what Chazal teach us. The Ibrahim took the light of the first few days of creation and hid it away from the Tzaddikim. Hashem saw this light that he put away from the Tzaddikim. Samach, he was happy. Shnemar, Or Tzaddikim Yismach. What about the stones that Avraham Yaakov took? Vesamar Ashosav, he put it around his head. Omach, as I'll say, I'm of Yitzchak. The stones gathered and were crying out, I want the tzaddik to rest on me. Which demonstrates this concept that the bria strives to serve the tzaddik. This is what the medrash says in Gehel. This is the language of the medrash. He took him to all the trees of Gan Eden and said to Adam, Ma'asai, look at what I did. How beautiful and praiseworthy are these trees. Everything I created is for you. Pay attention. Don't ruin and destroy my world. The general bottom line is summation. Man was not created for his situation in this world. El bavur matzav olam ba, he was created for his condition in the next world. Just his stay in this world is the means by which he achieves the next world. A couple things to point out. First of all, you'll notice in the language of Ramchal, he doesn't mention Jews. He's talking about Adam. He's talking about Adam, going back to Adam Arishan, man. I don't think it makes a difference. A person's a Yid or not, or a Goy. Why are people here? Hashem created Adam. There was a long time before Avraham Avinu came around. And before Yetzias Mitzrayim and the birth of Klal Yisrael. Man was put into this world to get close to Hashem who made him. That's a universal truth. And man is challenged day and night between Seichel and Guf. And if they follow the Guf, they go further and further and further away. And that's what happened up to the Mabul. That's what led up to the Mabul. This went further and further and further away. We think of the world as we see it, where it is the responsibility of Yidden to show the rest of the world how to live, which is true. This is a role that Klal Yisrael plays. But everything that Ramchal is talking about in Perek Aleph, I really believe, is universal. The name of the chapter, Klal Chovas Ha'adam Be'olamo. All human beings have a reason why they're here. He's not saying, let me tell you why I made Yidden. He's talking why he made people. And non-Jews have mitzvahs too. They also have mitzvahs. We have more mitzvahs. But the purpose of creation was for Adam to serve Hashem and his offspring and his descendants. And Noach has the same charge. After the Mabul, he and what does he do? He brings a carbon. He and his descendants are charged with serving Kadosh Baruch Hu. And unfortunately, the Darius from Noach to Avram went astray again. They went astray. So that's one thing. I don't think the Ramchal is discussing Yiddishkeit. He's discussing Adam. This is what Adam. We, Yidden, learn Ramchal. We try to strive to follow what he's saying. But I don't believe this is a personal thing for Klai, so I think this is a universal. The next thing he points out is that even though we find everything physical challenging, this struggle between Guf and Seichel, the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to use the Guf and use our physicalness to serve Hashem. The goal isn't to sit in a room and meditate. All the mitzvahs we do are physical, basically. We engage our body, our hands, our feet. We do things. The mitzvah sukkah, you live in the sukkah. That's the mitzvah, your whole body mitzvah, right? We use the guf, and we use the things that Hashem made in the world. We use wine, and we use meat, and we use bread. We use food. We use marriage. We use all these things for kedusha, for mitzvahs. There are people who do the exact same thing, and they have no thought about kedusha, no thought about mitzvahs. It's a purely physical experience. The whole term that we use for marriage, kiddushin, as in kadosh and kedusha, that's how we look at it. The rest of the world doesn't look at it that way. We look at it as kedusha. We take physical things and we don't ignore taivos achomrios. Rather, we take them and we use them for kedusha. We control them. We control them and we use it for holy things. A nazir who doesn't drink wine is called a chayte. The Torah calls the nazir chayte. A nazir who went through his nazirus brings a kamechatis when he's done. Why does he bring a kamechatis? Rav Lezer said, because He didn't drink wine for the month that he was a Nazir. Wine is terrible. Get intoxicated, go out of your mind, you don't think straight. Well, that's one way to use wine. But other people will use wine for Kedusha. They make Kiddush on wine, make Havdalah on wine, Simchas Achag with wine. Doesn't have to be abused. Everything in the Bria, you can use it or you can abuse it. You take it in the proper measures or you could take it to excess. The goal is everything in its measure, everything with its right intention, using everything properly for a higher goal. For a higher goal. There are people who make a mistake. It's, you know, it's a mistake it's easy to make because we're so influenced by the literature and culture of the host country and where we live in Golis, because we are in Golis, this is not our home. And people think that, you know, the goal in life, we're going to get married, and I'll raise a family and live happily ever after. And that's the goal. That's not a Torah goal. A Torah goal is, I want to serve Hashem. I'm here to serve Hashem. My life's goal is to earn Olam Haba. One of the things that I really need to do if I want to serve Hashem properly is to get married. Because there are mitzvahs you'll do when you get married that you can't do when you're not married. And they're big mitzvahs. But it's all with the concept of, I want to serve Hashem. And this is another means, this is another emsa'i on the way. And the fact is, if a person is not happily married, chas v'shalom, then I have a very hard time serving Hashem properly. So we do want to live happily ever after. We really do. But not because that's the goal. We want to live happily ever after because then you can serve Hashem wonderfully. You can do amazing avodas Hashem when you're married. And just to drive home this point, as opposed to the religion or the majority religion of the world, and at least this part of the world, the Kohen Gadol had to be married. The holiest man had to be married. We don't take a Kohen Gadol who is single. The whole concept of celibacy is a mistake from a Torah perspective. There's no such thing. That's not more Kedusha. That's not being holier by deciding never to get married. That's not holiness. That's not holiness. That's denying that you have Taivas, Chumis, and all that stuff. That's not what we're supposed to do. You're supposed to take it and use it for Kedusha. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur had to be so married that there was another woman in the wings in case his wife would die, that he'd be married to her, because the Kohen cannot do avoid. The Kohen Gadol cannot do avoid Yom Kippur if he does not have a wife. And they were nervous, what happens if he dies? Now, it's an unlikely possibility. One, she just says, we don't worry about it, because if you worry she's going to die, maybe the backup's going to die, and then the back of the back is going to die, there's no end. So that's one view, let's forget about it. But there's a view that no, he has to have another woman, and he's Mekadosh Al Tanai, he can't have two wives. Can't have two wives. Kohen Gadol cannot, he can't do avodah with no wives, he can't do avodah with two wives. He has to have one wife. So there's a whole backup mechanism in case then it kicks in that he should be married. The world doesn't understand that. They don't chop that. They think holy people don't get married. It's Narish guy. That's totally upside down. That's not how the Ibrahim intended it to be. The Ibrahim did not intend us to not drink wine, to not eat meat, to not get married. That's not the goal. That's not something to aspire to. That's not a level of holiness. It's not. Holiness is when you drink wine and you make kiddush. When you eat meat at a Suda's mitzvah. When you get married and build a family of Ovdei Hashem. That's an amazing feat to accomplish. And that is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to take from this world, as Ramchal says, you take from this world, you take from the physical, and the Rebbe Hashem put it here as a tool to achieve our goal of reaching Olam Haba. So he goes on to say, you find many, many statements of a Chachamim, all with the same theme. This world is the place of preparation. This is the time to store up for the next world. The next world is the place to relax and eat the fruits of your labor. One of the expressions is this world is the lobby. Or another mimer, today is the time to do the work, tomorrow you'll get the reward. The one who toiled before Shabbos is the one who gets to eat on Shabbos. This world is the land, and next world is the sea. Okay, there's many mamorim in this vein. And the truth is, and this is an amazing line. If I had a highlighter, I would highlight this line. I've underlined other parts. It's an amazing line. Any Baal Seichel can't really believe that the purpose of man's creation is for this world. What is the entirety of human life on this world? Who's truly happy and content? The world is 70 years. The person lives 70 years. And if he lives to Gevurah, he lives to 80. For Rabbam, Amal V'Oven, and almost all of them is just toil and troubles. But Kaminit Tsar V'Chaloyim Achav Mitzvotados, how many pains do people suffer and illnesses and discomforts and burdens and distractions? V'Achav Kolzos Amavos, any person dies. That's the whole goal. Echad Mini Elef Lo Yimotzi Shiyaba Ha'olam Lo Ha'Nosho Shalom. He's never going to find one in a thousand who for him, the world, everything was wonderful. And even he, when he reaches 100, is gone from the world. If you don't believe in the next world, how do you survive this world? We live in a world of misery. Do our children starving? Do our people dying from malaria? There's disease, there's poverty, there's war, there's strife, there's all kinds of terrible things. A guy who doesn't believe in the next world once saw a line. God must have been having a bad day the day he created the world. Because there's no way for them to chap any goodness in it. There's so much bad in the world, so much pain in the world. There has to be an Olam Haba. It makes absolutely no sense that this is all there is. So he's coming here to point out everything I'm telling you is we're working this world for the next. There's got to be a next, because this world is too miserable to be the end all. Too much suffering, too much pain. The Stiglitz of Chaim Vach would say, if he didn't have emuna in the next world, he couldn't survive with all the tzaras. People come to him all day long and night with tzaras, tzaras, tzaras. He hears all the tzaras. How does he go without a broken heart and just dying in pain for other people's tzar? He said, he knows his Olam Haba. Without Olam Haba, it's impossible. It's impossible. Shiva Chaim Vach of Weinberg taught us, this is one of the very, very first lessons of Chumash. One of the very first lessons of Chumash. Chumash Bereishis begins with creation. We have the story of Adam and Chava and the Nachash. The very next story is what? The story of Cain and Hevel. Cain brings an offering from the worst of his produce. Hevel brings from the best. And Hashem turns to Hevel's carbon and not to Cain's carbon. And then what does the Torah tell us next? Cain gets to fight with Hevel and murders him. What lesson exactly am I supposed to take out of this story? It's one of the first things you learn in Chumash. The one who does the right thing, the one who Hashem appreciates, he's the one who gets murdered. What lesson is the Torah conveying to us over here? And the Shi'ez Havacha said that there's Olam Haba. There's no other reason why this story is here. What kind of moral lesson are you going to get out of this story? There's Olam Haba. This world isn't the end all. If this world is the end all, then it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense at all. It's because there's a next world. Now things can make sense. Now, we don't understand them till we get there. There's a story that I said over recently that the Ramban had a student that was sick and he went to visit him and the student was dying. And he knew the Ramban was a doctor also. He knew he would not make it. He says to his student, I'm going to give you an amulet, a kameya. And after 120 years, when you leave this world, you should be buried with this amulet. And when you come to Shemayim, when you present this Kameya, it'll open doors. It's like the ultimate magnetic strip card. Every door you come to, you swipe this card, you're in. You're in, you're in. Till you get to the very deep chamber. And he describes, he says, when you get there, I have four questions about Klal Yisrael that are very, very disturbing. And I want you to ask these questions, and then I want you to come back to me and tell me the answer. And in case you'll forget, I'm writing them down. So he writes down his questions. He gives him the kameya, probably puts it around his neck. He gives him this paper, puts it in his hand. And shortly thereafter, the student died. A little while later, the Rabban is learning, and the student comes back to him. He sees his student through the window. He says, what happened? The student says, Rebbe, that kameya was amazing. Every room, I put the kameya, doors open. I got all the way up to exactly the heichal you told me about. And I took out the paper to ask the questions. Except for one thing. When I read the questions, I saw, there's no kashas. There weren't any questions at all. In the Olam HaEmes, there are no questions. You have questions. When you get up there, I was going to ask, it's obvious. In the Olam HaEmes, everything is explained, it's so pashut. We can't figure it out, we're down here. But in the Olam HaEmes, he says, Rebbe, your questions are not kashas at all. So we don't know the answers. We don't know why things happen the way they happen. There is a cheshbon the Ibn Hashem has, we don't know. But one thing's for sure, this world isn't the end. There's absolutely, definitely, positively another world. And that's where we are working towards. That's our goal. That's what we're headed to. And that's what Shir Zalman said. That is the whole yisod of the story of Kain and Hevel, to teach us this yisod. We see tzaddikim that perish in terrible ways, just like Hevel did. There's an Olam Haba. There's an Olam Haba. This isn't the end. And the Bereshit has a cheshbon, why he takes, who he takes, how he takes, and all that is all obvious in Olam Haba. This is not obvious to us. Please, Ned will continue next week, ladies.